And thank y'all and all that involved there in making those skits and things and bringing things to give us a visual so we can understand what your giving has accomplished through this offering through the years. So praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bible this morning, let's turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. I just want to have a Thanksgiving service this morning. Just praise the Lord in advance what He's going to do through this offering, what God has done through you in the past, what He's going to do in the present, and what He's going to do in the future. I think this psalm just says it well, Psalm 66. And if you have your copy, whether it be on your phone, your tablet, your Bible, it be on the screen, it'd be good to have it where you can see, because I'm going to read in its entirety. And I'm just going to go through and highlight a few points in it. There are two invitations in this psalm, and we're kind of going to use those as our body of our sermon this morning. Psalm 66, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Come and see, there's the first invitation. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but Thou brought us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pray thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifice of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Here's the second invitation. Come and hear. Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth. He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for what You're going to do through this offering, God. We thank You for the one that's going to be baptized, and we pray there'll be many more to come. I pray, God, now You'll speak to hearts. There'll be decisions made that will glorify You and bring You honor this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a person God has touched, there's no way you can be silent. I don't care who you are. If He has touched you, you're going to let people know about it. Our text for the offering has been Revelation 7, 9. And when we read that text and see them around the throne, I read for you 10 through 17 last week and how they were worshiping Him, how they were praising Him. They could not be silent for what He had done for them. In the first four verses of our text this morning, in this Psalm 66, we see His name mentioned twice. In verse 2, it says, sing forth the honor of His name. In verse 4, it says, they shall sing to thy name. You know, this is a universal song with a universal theme, His name. It's all about His name. And I think we need to understand the power in His name. Remember in Malachi, we went through that maybe a year ago. We saw He is a great king with a great name. The New Testament tells us why it is a great name and worthy to be praised. We use these verses often, but I don't think we use them enough. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Those that have been baptized this morning heard about His name down at Reverb and realized there's no other name given unto man where you can be saved. And they gave praise to that name and asked the one who carries that name to save them. The Bible says in Philippians Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name. The psalm contains two invitations. One in verse 5 says, come and see. The one in verse 16 says, come in here. Let's look at the one in verse 5 first. He says, come and see. And here's what he asked you to come and see. The works of God. The works of God. He said, I want you to see the works of God. The context here surely is the deliverance from Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. That's what they're wanting the people to see and tell them about and let them glorify God through that. But for us, it's probably different. For us, it's come and see that marriage that was restored. For us, it's come and see that prodigal that came back home. For us, come and see that relationship that was healed. For us, that person we thought would never be saved. The last person in the world we'd ever see in a church or walk the aisle to see them gloriously and radically saved. I think for us, that's what we say, come and see the works of God. You know, each one of these three stories are more than just a sentence or two or a verse or two. There's no way to describe what took place. There's a lot more to it. There's a lot more details. And it's the details, I think, that makes it miraculous. If we just take the context of our verses, it's talking about deliverance from Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. To really appreciate this miracle and to see the works of God, you got to understand more. You got to understand that they were in bondage over 400 years. You got to understand and appreciate the protection and call of Moses. You got to witness the plagues that's placed upon Pharaoh through Moses by God. You got to know the story about the blood that saved the firstborn. To really appreciate the works of God, you got to know the details. The deception and lying of Pharaoh, the Egyptian army totally devastated there in the Red Sea. Little details like you find in Exodus 13:17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Notice that? There was a closer route, but God didn't lead them that way. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. To appreciate the works of God, you got to understand the details. He would not take them through the land of the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines contained all the metalwork. They were making all the armor, all the swords. They were proficient in the battles with chariot. They had the best chariots in the world. They would have mowed them people down in just a matter of days if God had did that. But look at the detail. He didn't take them the near way. He took them the best way, where they would not get discouraged and have a battle and be beaten down there, although God could have won that battle for them. To appreciate the works of God, you got to understand the details. Now, the three stories I give you to appreciate the works of God and restores marriage, I think you probably need to know the details. You need to understand the broken vows, the loss of trust, the lies, the deception, the cheating, the hurt, the nights after nights spent crying, loss of respect, thoughts of revenge, the wedding ring been off so long, the white mark that you have is already gone. But to see that marriage restored is the works of God. He says, come and see the works of God. But to see that couple now, you'd never know they had a minute's trouble. That's the works of God. Their marriage grows sweeter as the days go by. He says, come and see the works of God. We talked about that prodigal. To see the works of God, you got to see where that prodigal's been, how desperate his state was, the depth of the addiction. You know, even in Luke 15, 12 and 15, the little story about the prodigal, there's a lot going on between verses 12 and 15. And the younger of them said to the father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger man gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You got to know the details. You got to know the story between the money and the pig pen. You know, there's a lot going on there. All the friends that deserted him when the money was gone, the one night stands that left nothing to stand on, the sense of shame, the embarrassment, the feeling of worthlessness, being unworthy, and get up the next day and make all the same mistakes again. No thought for tomorrow, no protection from the famine, no preparation for the famine that would come. But to see someone like this come back home is to see the works of God. We hear testimony after testimony of how people have strayed and went down the wrong path, but God just turned them around and used them a mighty way. I think when the psalmist was saying there's more going on, when he said, "Come and see the works of God." The other illustration I used talked about severed relationships. You got to know the details. These folks haven't spoken in years, and when they did speak about the other person, it was never anything good. The tension, the stress, you got to see the width of the divide. And to see that restored is to see the works of God. To see the works of God in salvation is to see how desperately wicked we are, to see that we are bent towards sin, that we would rather go astray, that we would choose the broad road to destruction rather than the narrow road to eternal life. You got to understand how deep we are in sin, that we actually love it. We would rather be there, but then to see that one saved, radically saved, miraculously saved and restored and called and used of God, come and see the works of God. The psalmist goes on. This section ends in verse 7 with this statement: "He ruleth by his power forever." Can I say this morning that God is not dead? I don't care what you see on TV. He is alive. Come and see the works of God. The psalmist says the power of God. His eyes behold the nation. Spurgeon said this: "He oversees all and overlooks none." That's why verse 8 says, "Make the voice of his praise to be heard." Make the voice of his praise to be heard. Verse 9 says this: "Which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved." He is our all in all. Do you see that? He's with us every step of the way. He is the one that holds our life. He is the one that allows us to stand when we need to stand. Verses 10 and 12, there's a lot of vows there. And I just highlighted that because my precept training, that's what I do when I see repeated words. For thou, O God, hast proved us. For thou hast tried us as silver is tried. If you wondered who's in control of your trials, right here it is. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou, don't miss this last phrase, brought us into a wealthy place. God oversees our trials. And on the other side of trials is rejoicing. That's what he says. Come and see what God can do. Even though you go through fire and water, look what he's bringing you to. Don't miss that. They went through fire and water, but he led them to a wealthy place. That's what God is doing many times in the midst of our trials. He's bringing us to a better place. He's bringing us to a wealthy place. They left Egypt in bondage to a land flowing with milk and honey. We were all destined for hell, but he gave us heaven. Through our trials, he says, "I'll give you a wealthy place." Praise the Lord. And then there's something we have to do. Look at verses 13 through 16. We went from the thou's to I will. Verse 13 says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. This is what we should be doing. I will pay thee my vows. And this morning I know you went beyond that. Which my lips have uttered, my mouth have spoken. When I was in trouble, I will offer unto thee burnt offerings of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. That verse 15 represents a perfect sacrifice. When you do both, when you are sacrificing. When you're doing bullocks and goats together, man, you're putting it all on the altar for God. But verse 13 and 14 addresses an age-old problem. I don't want you to miss it. He says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Did you notice that? How many times when we're in trouble do we make promises to God? God, you get me out of this mess. I'll do whatever. I'll go to Africa. I don't know. Whatever you call me to, Lord, if you'll just help me here. But you notice the man kept his vow. He said, God, you heard me when I was in trouble, and you delivered me. And because of that, I'm going to give you double. I will offer thee burnt offerings of fatlings with the incense of rams. I'm going to bring it all, and I will offer bullocks with goats. There's nothing I'm not going to give you. I remember, God, what you did for me when I was in trouble. I always like to read Jonah because you open up the second chapter. Jonah's in the belly of a whale, and he opens up, then Jonah prayed. He should have prayed when he was 4 years, ever took off running, and they had to throw him overboard and be swallowed. Man, that's us, though. Then Jonah prayed. I'm going to tell this little story of my grandson. I know if it embarrassed him, he's not here. He'd been wanting to, now if you don't hunt, close your ears. He'd been wanting to get his first deer. And Thursday night I took him. We didn't do any good, nothing close enough. And he's a little disappointed. And that's why I got this mark on my head. He hit me. No. I butted the tree stand. Then on Friday, we sat in there, hadn't seen a thing, and he said, Papa, he says, one thing, because we had practiced being quiet and what we was going to do, and he said, Papa, is one thing we hadn't done. He's talking to a preacher. He said, we haven't prayed. I said, Gaston, I said, let's take our hats off right now, and let's pray. I prayed, and we sat there about in the morning. He said, Papa, I said, what? He said, we need to be more specific. That tickled me, more specific. I said, okay. I said, how specific you want to be, Gaston? And he told me what he wanted and what time he wanted and where he wanted. I said, all right. I said, that's we'll pray that. And then it's starting to get a little bit dark. And he said, Papa, I said, what? I said, let's pray one more time. So I prayed. And I can show you the picture of the deer that God sent if you want. He got his first deer. I had no more finished that third prayer. So it's making vows to God when you're in trouble and then keep them. I think you bless them when you're not in trouble. Verse 16, the second invitation. Come in here. All you that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Now don't miss this. It's a cry to a very select group. Come in here, all ye that fear God. I think he's trying to tell us something. There's a group there that will understand what God can do. All ye that fear God, that they'll understand. He said to that group, those that experience the goodness of God, those that God has brought from disaster to a wealthy place, those that God has have heard about and seen about and know about and experience his goodness, said, could I tell you, this group, those that fear God, what God hath done for my soul. It's a testimony time. There's a time they're sharing. Now, let me get finished telling you what God has done for me. Then you can say what he has done for you, because too many times we want to tell what we have done, don't we? We just Can't let somebody finish their story. We'll butt in. Well, you don't even let them finish their story. We want to tell what we have done. He says, come and hear all you that fear God, and I will declare what God hath done for my soul. That should be what's on our lips this morning. If we come to a Thanksgiving service, we should be giving thanks for what God has done. And then verse 17 through 20, they rejoice because God hears us. I cried unto him with my mouth. He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity, my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We got to clean our hearts out. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. All he is saying, thank you, God, for hearing my prayer and bringing me to a wealthy place. This morning, he can do the same to you. He can bring you to a wealthy place. I don't care where you're at in your troubles. I don't care where you're at in your life. I don't care how many trials you're going through right now. For those that fear him, he can bring you to a wealthy place. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for this psalm. God, we want to just stop right there and have this baptism so we can all enjoy it. God, I pray there be others that will step up today, Lord, and call you Lord. And you too will bring them through the trials of life to a wealthy place. And they can say, come and hear, come and see what God has done for me. God bless this time of invitation, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning, you know without a doubt God has brought you to a wealthy place. He's done a lot for you. I invite you to come and just give him praise. I invite you to come accept him as your Savior. You too to be a candidate for baptism. And if you feel like this is a church you want to be a part of, you feel at home here, you come talk to me or Gary or any of our folks, and they'll answer any question you might have. And you too can call this place home. As we stand and Roger leads us in an invitation, if God is calling you, speaking to you, you come this morning.
Hymn 294. 294, have thine own way, Lord.
And that's all we ever ask of you in the invitation. You let Lord have his way with you. That you be found obedient when you go out these doors.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Is there anyone this morning?
Have thine own way.
Before we finish this verse,
search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Well, just remain standing, Gary. You go over here. Carrie, if some of the ladies would help her over here. And while you're standing, they get ready for the baptism. Here's what I want you to do. You may have had a song ready, but I just want you to just stand and tell somebody a few things you're thankful for. So just turn and tell your neighbor and let them give them time to tell you. And when they get ready, I'll have us to be seated. You tell some folks what you are thankful for this Thanksgiving season.